Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Make this confession with me. I have faith.
I have
faith.
I have radical faith.
And today's the day.
I'm
going to
lose my faith.
Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I have all faith. But I have the love of God. My faith works by love. Therefore, love conquers all. Love never fails. And by my faith, I'm going to fulfill the will of God for my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Praise the name of Jesus. Open up your Bibles, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. So glad to have each and every one of you in the house of the Lord with us this morning. Appreciate Brother Danny making an effort. He worked this morning and then come on to the house of God. I'm proud of that. I appreciate that very much. I'm glad to have Brother James and Brother Henry and Brother Jason back with us. They've had a time with family and friends, but it's not just that. They had a time of destiny with the Lord. Amen. And I pray they'll share their testimony tonight. And when we have testimony service tonight, I think it'll help. But this morning, I want you to be in the place and in the position that of expectancy. And I want you to, the Spirit of God that's been dealing with me the last few days extremely powerfully in the revelation that you and I, our faith needs to be loosed out of our life. We don't need to make the faith of God, let it be imprisoned inside of this carnal body, inside of this carnal mind. We need to loose our faith, and we need to, the Spirit of God, here's exactly what He said. He said, I want you to have fresh faith in every area of your life. And He said, fresh faith is faith that is unrecognizable to anybody who hasn't seen you lately. Our faith should be so fresh that if somebody hasn't been around you in a little while, when you get around them, they go, what's going on? Something's happening, amen? And it moves and it brings the will of God to pass. And we're going to look at that this morning. Acts chapter 6, if you would, let's start in verse number 1. Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples into them, or unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint, you may anoint, you may place in a position over this business. Verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Notice what happens. Here's what we're looking for. And the word of God increased. Hallelujah. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied, praise God, in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now notice that, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Brother Whitby, would you pray? Yes.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Brother Whitby. Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning that you, because God has dealt to you, Romans 12:3, the measure of faith, you have the opportunity to bring the perfect will of God into the earth in your life, in your family, in your sphere of influence, in your world. And you have the opportunity to, as we just looked here, to bring people who are deceived, who don't know the fullness of Jesus Christ, to bring them out of other religions, out of other ideologies, bring them into the will of God. You have the opportunity to bring unity within the body of Christ, as we've seen that division between the Grecians and the Jewish situation, there was a working where God brought up people to help in the ministry that brought perfect unity and brought the plan and the will of God to pass. That's you this morning, amen? And so we see that the apostles, here they were, they were doing what they could do, but they had to have some help. And so God, he designated that, and he called them and he appointed them. And these seven men rose up in this position, and they changed the whole face of the early church. And so, of course, this word here is where we get our English word deacon from, deaconos in the Greek. But what I want you to see is that God's going to always have somebody that he can raise up. God is looking to raise up his children. And so praise God for where you're at in your level of faith. Praise God for what you're doing for the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, as great as that may be, God's got something better. He's got something more. He wants to increase your sphere of influence. He wants to increase my sphere of influence. He wants you and I to be in a place and a position where we bring forth the glory of Jesus Christ by God's grace in the people's lives. Amen? And I want you to know that in our lives, there's times and there's seasons where we kind of hit a plateau. And we feel like that we've went just as far as we can go. We've prayed as hard as we can pray. We've believed as much as we can believe for. And when we hit that plateau, if we're not careful, we'll just be satisfied with where we're at. We're so grateful for where we've come and for what God has done. But as you're teaching about the giant of complacency, it can happen anytime. And so I want you to see here what God had in mind for his church and how he was going to use situations. This morning, every one of you are dealing with different situations that the world, that the devil is using to try to hurt and try to limit and to hinder. But those things are just an opportunity for God's grace to work in your life. Amen? Yeah. Now, let's look at this, and let's let this just be alive to us this morning, because God is wanting to show you and I this morning that as great as your faith is at where it's at, that's only the seed of where he's wanting to take us. And he's wanting you and I to be in the place and the position to allow our faith to grow. You know, the Bible says that you and I were changed as we look into the glory of God from glory to glory. But the prophet Habakkuk, and then Paul quoted in Romans chapter 1, the prophet Habakkuk, and he said that the just shall live by faith. But he said that the righteousness of God was that we look at the faith of God and we see faith to faith to faith. In other words, every time we look to the Lord, our faith increases, because it's not that the faith of God changes, but the faith of God changes us. Amen? So I want you to go with me. Let's go here to the early church and let's see some things. Now, there were great things that were happening. There was persecution against the church, and Peter and John had then been cast into prison, and they had then walked through the temple, and they grabbed the lame man by his hand in Acts chapter 3, and by the power of the name of Jesus, not prayer, the power of the name of Jesus, they said, rise up and walk. We're going to have to start and separate power and prayer. Thank God for prayer. But we need to operate in power. And we need to do what Jesus did. But they did that, and so persecution come, but the church multiplied and growed. and all of these things. But then all of a sudden, as the church was growing up to over 8,120 people at this point, there was a division there. And there was a division because when the church starts growing, God's got to raise up people to weave us together, to bind us together. Because as God brings people in, there's going to be people who don't understand like you understand. They don't know you like I know you. They don't know me like you know me. And so God's going to raise up people to help bring that transition to bring us into the unity. And so we've got to be willing to accept that transition. We've got to be willing to accept that God is going to place people in positions, and we've got to see that it's of God and it's not of man. Amen? When God does that, it causes things to work better, and it brings to pass the growth, and it also moves the foundation of the church and keeps them from being stale. Okay, so let's look at that. Now, first of all, let's see what has happened here. Now, it says that in verse number 5, it says that the saying pleased the whole multitude. Have you ever been in a church service where everybody was pleased? I hadn't. I've been in church services where there've been a few been pleased, there've been some been mad. But when the Holy Spirit is in action, when the body has their mind on Jesus, there's a pleasing. There's a satisfaction there. But when we just know that God's in it, amen, and it's God's plan. So notice here, though, it's that they picked out these men. And it starts out with Stephen. I want you to see here, I want us to concentrate on Stephen and Philip this morning. Because Stephen and Philip, as they're listed here, 1 and 2, they had a great impact. And Stephen here, he no doubt influenced Philip because they probably, God sent them together and they worked there side by side, not belittling the other men, but just that we have scripture that deals with these two men. And so I want you to know this morning, who you hang around with has a great impact on your life. And 1 Corinthians 15:33, one of my favorite verses that I relied on so much that helped me, that kept me focused on what God would have me to do and not let me be swallowed up by my old friends, by my old way of life. It says, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked, right? That he says, I want you to know that your old friends, evil communications, don't be deceived by it. Don't be pulled away from it. Evil communications, in other words, injurious companions, relationships, it corrupts good moral habits, good manners. In other words, until you're strong enough and I'm strong enough in the Lord to influence that person, we don't need to let them influence us. But here, I want you to see that Stephen, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, just like all of them are, but no doubt he had an impact. Because the Word tells us here that Stephen, he caused the will of God to go forth, the plan of God to go forth, and it tells us in verse 15, Acts 6 and 15, that his face looked like the face of an angel. Now, why was that? Because he, by faith, he was being changed from glory to glory. Like Moses went up on the mountain, remember, and he come back, had to put the napkin for his face because he had a glow on him. This morning, you've got to know that when you go into this dark world, the glow that is on you, the faith that is in you that was put there by God, being brought out by the Holy Spirit, it shines light. It looks different to the world. Amen? And you've got to believe that, though. But you've got to loose your faith and say, I'm not going to imprison that truth. I'm going to let that truth be. Because when I say that to people, I feel it. I know immediately what comes across your mind. And your mind will argue with that. Your body will argue with that. You've got to say, no, I put my body under. I renew my mind to this truth, and I know that my face can shine. Not only can it shine, it's supposed to. We're going to talk about this in the near future. What did Jesus say? He said, a city that is set on a hill, it has to what? It has to shine. You've got to see where you've been set. You've been set in the body of Christ. And you are the light of the world out of the mouth of Jesus. Amen? And when you look into the glory of that truth, you've got to let your faith
Let it be loosed and be radical enough to change somebody else. But here, I want you to see Stephen. He lost his life, but he gained everything. Because he was willing to what? He was willing to stand against the world. Well, when he lost his life and done that, this propelled Philip. Philip looked and he saw what Stephen had done. And he said, I need to be doing something else. I need to be doing something more. Now, stay with me this morning. Now, see, Peter and John and the other apostles, they're satisfied right now in Jerusalem. They're satisfied. Everything's good. Got nice air conditioning. Got carpet on the floor. Got plenty to eat. I didn't been in jail and I didn't like it. But right now, this is just fine. This is just fine. But what did Jesus say? Put Acts 1:8 up there, Brother Ryan. What did Jesus tell them before he ascended on high? What did he tell them? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, thank God. Oh, I like the doodads. I like the presence. I like the power. But there's a reason for it. And if we don't utilize the reason, you shall receive power and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So here, Philip is. He said, I saw what Stephen did. And I seen how it pleased God because it says that Jesus let heaven be opened. And before Stephen died, he looked up and said, behold, I see Jesus, the Son of God, on the right hand of the Father. Can you imagine the power of that testimony as he breathed his last breath, testifying about the plan of God, the goodness of Jesus? And so Philip sees that and he says, wait a minute. I heard them say that Jesus said we're supposed to be going somewhere. We're supposed to be doing something instead of just meeting in this little room. All right. Go over to Acts chapter 8. Verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria. Notice this, except the apostles. Except the apostles. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc, he made insult, he maltreated the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, see, God uses hard times. He uses situations for his will. God didn't do this. The devil did it. But God used it. Amen? Because he said, this is what you're going to do. This is where you're going to go. But they are in that little place. Now, look what it says. Verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5. Then Philip went down. We've got to be willing to go somewhere. Amen? And Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached the assemblies of God to them. Preached the Baptist to them. Pentecostal church? No, right. He preached Jesus. Amen? And the people with one accord gave heed. When we preach Jesus, when we lift up Jesus, people will believe it. Because he cannot be denied. Amen? They gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing, notice this, and seeing the miracles which Jesus done through him. Amen? You and I today, we've got to see that the book of Acts is being written right now as we speak. That's why there's no ending to the book of Acts. You and I, we're living it out. We're living this out, and we're to do the works that Jesus did.
We need to go preach Jesus, and we need to cause people not just to hear, but them to see that Jesus ain't changed. Hebrews 13:8, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He did once, He'll do again. Amen? But He has to have a vessel. Say, I'm the vessel of the Lord. You are. You're the vessel of the Lord. But you can't imprison your faith. You've got to let loose your faith. You've got to say, I want to be the one that is a mover and a shaker. Now see, just because Philip had saw, he'd heard these words, but then he saw Stephen put them into action. He says, I'm going to go do something. I'm going to go somewhere, and I'm going to see something happen. This morning, you and I, we would need to go wherever the Spirit of God leads us, and guess what? You're going to see something happen. Amen? God just looking to show somebody Jesus through you. So I want you just to get this stirred up inside of you, just to see that He went. Now notice what we read there. It says that all the other people were going and doing what God told them to do except thee. So Philip goes down here and he preaches Christ to them and he gets them saved. He casts out the devils. He casts out the demons. But he doesn't have and everybody has different gifts, has different callings. He doesn't have that ability to lay hands on people and then be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So what does he do? He calls up Jerusalem. He said, I need you to come down here. See, sometimes we don't listen and don't do what we are supposed to do, but God will get somebody to get our attention. Now, can you imagine? He calls up Jerusalem. Let's just see this in our mind's eye. Take it to the 21st century. He pulls out his little cell phone and he says, hey, I took the word down here just like y'all said that Jesus told us to do and said, I see demons running like the wind. I see people getting deliverance. There's people getting saved. But I don't know how to get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. I need your help. And all of a sudden, they got to say, wait a minute. We got to leave right here. Jesus told us to go into Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth after Jerusalem. I need to get out of Jerusalem. It's time for you and I to get out of our comfort zone and go to where God would have us to go. Amen? And so all of a sudden, God uses this and He brings Peter and John down here and they lay hands on them and bam, bam. The glory of God, the full gospel is being preached and being released. Because all of a sudden, God brought somebody into the church. God wants to bring somebody into your life, into my life, that will cause us to lose our faith. Now, can you imagine? Now, Peter and John, they saw Stephen, they saw Philip waiting on the tables. And so, as they saw them there, they had a preconceived notion and an ideal of what they were doing. But all of a sudden, when they get a call and says, and they hear about Philip now, he's not waiting on tables. He's preaching with power, and he's calling the demons to flee. Now see, what happened? When he loosed his faith, he was unrecognizable. When they got down there, Philip didn't look like the deacon anymore. He was Philip the evangelist. Amen? You and I, we can't stay what we was when we got saved. We can't stay what we was when we first started walking with Jesus. God is continually changing His people. He's growing us up. He's maturing us. He's loosening who you were born to be. You have a destiny this morning. It's not where you're at. It's who you serve. It's not the limitation of what you know. It's the omnipotence of the God, of the Spirit of God that is in you this morning. Amen? You have the ability. You have the possibility. All Jesus is waiting for you and I to do is say yes. Yes. That's it. Now notice, in this 8th chapter, all of a sudden, if you see Philip growing here, after he sees that he got Peter and John down there, it says in, drop down to verse number 25. Acts 8:25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. In other words, they come back to the home base and they went out and done what they were supposed to do. all because of Stephen and Philip. Verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now see, people get nervous because if you start talking about angels talking to you. Now, we're led by the Holy Ghost. Amen? As many as are the children of God, they have the Spirit of God. They have that witness, and they're led by the Spirit of God. But God can talk to you in any way He chooses. Amen? And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, and go to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, see, I want you to see that God is wanting Philip to see that, okay, you're not just a deacon. You're not just a one-time hit and miss in Samaria. I want to take you to the stronghold of the enemy. This morning, you've got all power because Jesus said all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, and behold, I give it unto you. But see, if I sit down and say, well, now, wait a minute. That's for somebody else. That's not for me. I'm imprisoning my faith. I'm saying that I believe what I feel, what I see, more than I believe what thus saith the Lord. So I need to repent and tell God, God, I believe you above all. I'll yield to you. Because see, this is what he's doing. He's taking Philip on a journey. And he's showing him what he can be as he obeys God. This morning, your greatest days are ahead of you. They're not behind you. They're ahead of you. Because why? Because there's coming a great revival. There's coming, the Lord is coming, but he's coming for a group of people that are looking for him. How do we show him that we're looking for him? We're about his business. Amen? And so here he is. He's showing Philip who he is. Now notice this. He said, I want you, verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. In other words, he was worshiping God under the old covenant. And so God's saying to Philip, I want you to take, and I want you to take him out of the old covenant, and take him out from under the law, take him under grace. I'm entrusting you to share the grace. God's entrusting us today to share his grace. Now see, this man was under Candace. He was under this Ethiopian system. But God wants to put you and I under Jesus. Come on, he's the Lord of Lords. And we're in him. We're under him. And if you're under Jesus, you're not subject to man. You're not subject to this world. You're subject to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen? That means this world doesn't govern you anymore, doesn't limit you anymore. This world isn't your source. God is. And if when we come out of that bondage and limitation of what this world has to offer and come under the provision and the promise of the covenant of God, then you have all possibility. All provision. Amen. But we've got to come to the place where we let our faith loose and we do what God would have us to do. Amen. Now, we don't have time to look at this, but he does what God would have him to do. And I want you to see, starting in verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard this man reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked him that question, understand what thou readest. That's where we're at today. There's so many people who are needing somebody to tell them what God is meaning. Because, see, you can't understand this word without the Spirit. And if you're not saved, you need somebody to help you. Amen? That's you this morning. I want you to see, don't stay where you're at. Look and see where Jesus is taking you because you are a blood-bought, blood-washed vessel and you have the power of the Spirit of God in you and he's changing you from glory to glory, but you've got to say yes to him. Amen? Now, the Ethiopian, we don't have time to look at it. We'll look at it maybe tonight. He gets saved. He gets born again because Philip's faith is radical. He doesn't keep it in prison. He lets it loose. Tonight, by the love of God, you can, you're going to move past what you hear this morning, and we're going to expect, and we're going to come here, and the Spirit of God is going to minister to us even greater than He's going to minister this morning. Because why? He's a God of increase. A God of increase. Every area of your life and my life is increasing in the will of God, in the plan of God, in the knowledge of God. And if we'll do that, it's going to be changing. And it's going to be so radical, you're going to run into somebody and they're going to say, I don't know what's different about you. You look the same on the outside, but there's something coming out of the inside of you that's different. Amen? And if we'll do that, it's going to change situations and circumstances. It's going to bring people from outside the family of God into the family of God. Amen? But we got to be willing. Let's don't open the door to the enemy by resisting. We can't drag our feet anymore because this dispensation of grace, this door is closing and it's closing quickly. We've got to know that heaven's real, but just as quick as heaven's real, hell's real. And without Jesus, if you die without Jesus, so we got to get motivated and see that every place we go and everything that we do is an opportunity to get somebody saved. Brother James will witness, he'll testify about it tonight. Going to a restaurant can be a divine appointment. And you can be expected to be led in the mundane things of life that will change people's lives. Amen? You've got to believe that. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm out of time. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you're wanting to get us out of our comfort zone. You're wanting to show us and reveal unto us by people that you're going to place in us and around us, that we're going to grow, we're going to expand, our sphere of influence is going to get bigger, but we're going to have to yield to you. But if we will yield to you and believe you and trust you, being full of the Holy Spirit, being full of faith, we're going to see people delivered from evil spirits, from evil thinkings, from things that would divide and hinder. We're going to see them come to faith. Faith in your Son. Faith in the one who delivers. Father, let it be. Let it be this morning. Let us see that if we'll just say yes to you in the smallest of things, it'll be the seed of the biggest thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as those men said yes to washing dishes, they had no clue, no idea that setting that table was the seed that was going to cause them, enable them, empower them to cause people to see Jesus like they never saw before. Let us see that in these smallest of details, with obedience, you can bless and cause great and mighty things to happen. Father, let it be. We ask you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, would you agree with the Word of God? See, we can't go any further this morning unless you say, Lord, I'm willing to agree with what the Spirit is saying this morning. Because this, I assure you, with all truth this morning, the Spirit of God has dealt powerfully with me about this. This is the Word. This is what the Spirit is saying to the church right now. But it doesn't matter. If you don't agree with it, you can't receive from it. You can't be empowered by it. You can't be inspired by it. But if you'll agree with it this morning, God's going to loose some things in you and through you. Would you come? Would you come and make you an altar and say, Lord, I believe this. I want to make a positive response to it. Would you come where we can pray together? And that's just the start. When we put God first, all of a sudden, those other things that we thought we had need of, they just disappear. Because God meets them. When He sees that we're serious about putting Him first, all of a sudden, we have no need. The Bible says that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not lack. Come on, when we make Jesus Lord, we put Him first. He said He would take care of the needs in our life. Would you come this morning? Let His covenant be so real with you. Thank you.
down upon the ground, press my face against the earth, until my heart rises over my head. As the wheat bows down low, when the autumn winds blow, I kneel before the one I love. Find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees. Find me dreaming, find me singing, find me lost in your grace. Dust that you first held in the garden where you knelt, and pull me up against your face again, until the breath of your hope fills the depths of my soul, till all I know is I've been found by love. Find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees. Find me dreaming, find me singing, find me lost in your grace. See you.